Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
Did you have a good weekend?
Yes, not too shabby.
Yeah. Oh, it was perfect. It was great. It was one of those weekends I love because when you go up in the mountains this month, it drops by about 10 degrees from, you know, where it is in the more Piedmont kind of region. So it was a perfect 72 up near Boone, and a great time was had by all.
All right.
Hiking and hanging out. So we had a great family adventure weekend. It was painful to come back. It was just perfect weather. So hope everybody else enjoyed their long weekend. The irony, of course, is that the day after Labor Day is, in fact, a work day.
Yeah.
Right? So you got to work.
Exactly.
The day after. And this is also, I don't know if you've ever heard of this before. This is Telephone Tuesday.
No.
Okay. Yes. This is the day that businesses get the most phone calls all year long.
Really?
Yes. And it makes sense because, you know, definitely we're shut down on Monday. A lot of them shut down on Friday, or, you know, people were already off. And
right.
So, you know, or they, the people calling were off, you know, they were mentally out of there, as I know I was on Friday.
Anyway.
Yeah, I was actually physically off as well, yeah. Too. So everybody's like, I'll put it off till after the Labor Day weekend. I'll get it done. And so everybody's knocking off their to-do list. So it's going to be crazy at work today when you get there.
Well,
so
it's always pretty crazy at work here anyway. So,
yeah. So be prepared for a madhouse when you get to work. Knowing this, I think next year I'll just take Tuesday off.
There you go.
After Labor Day as well.
There's an idea.
And do that. Okay. So over the weekend, the story broke, and I was following this spottily because up in the mountains they don't have the best cell phone reception, that the Taliban was blocking flights out of northern Afghanistan. And some were even using the term hostage situation, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay. I don't know if you saw all that. So... So that's true. I'm watching that. Wow, we're going to have a hostage situation. It turns out it was a hostage situation, but the Taliban were not at fault. The State Department was. Six planes on the ground trying to get Americans and other visa holders and citizens of other countries. In other words, they had an ability to leave Afghanistan because they have a citizenship in another country, might not be America, or they had American citizenship, or they were being rescued. Can't get them out of the country. And at first everybody thought, oh, Taliban. Nope. State Department was holding them hostage. Initially, State Department denying this and saying, well, no, that Taliban won't let anybody leave. We have to ask their permission. And it turned out they had not granted permission for these private planes to take off. So here's how, when they finally figured it out, headlines, Fox News, State Department blocking private rescue flights from leaving Afghanistan. Organizers say, quote, blood is on their hands, unquote. The State Department's Fox News reports delays are recklessly endangering American lives. Three different individuals involved in the private evacuation told Fox News. Rick Clay, who runs the private rescue group Plan B, told Fox News the State Department is the only thing preventing the flights he's organizing from leaving Afghanistan. So a hostage situation. Not of the Taliban's making. Once again, for desperate Americans and others wanting to leave the country, the Biden administration squarely in the way of anybody wanting to get out of that country, which most people did not. We're now finding out a lot of the 100,000 that did get out were human props. They blocked visa holders, U.S. citizens, and others on the kill list at the, you know, the one that the Biden administration gave them so they'd know where these poor people live, complete with their addresses. They were actually blocked at the checkpoints, while others, as we now know, who did not work for the United States of America or help us or, you know, people in any way in our priority list to get them out, they were let through. So what we did was bring, it appears, a bunch of human props back to the U.S. so it would look like the planes were filled and the people we needed to rescue we left behind. And then on top of that, we're blocking them from coming here. So this all looked very bad for Antony Blinken, our Secretary of State. So he hopped on a plane and flew to Qatar to negotiate with some people or something. It wasn't really clear why he went to Qatar, since it was not Qatar blocking these planes. I guess maybe in an attempt to make it look like it was Qatar and not the State Department. By the end of the weekend, this was such a disaster that the State Department, as you had the news earlier, Lee, was lying and claiming they got four Americans out.
Right.
They actually spent the weekend blocking Americans and planes full of people from getting out of Afghanistan for reasons that are, quite frankly, absolutely inexplicable, and you can't wrap your mind around them.
Yeah, this is unconscionable.
It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. And then Ronny Jackson, who's, you know, the former White House doctor, now he's a member of Congress, and as you reported, a couple of other Congress members have worked hard to get Americans out since Joe's too busy to do that, and the State Department's actively blocking them and doesn't really seem to care. And then the State Department swoops in and takes credit for their extraction.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
When in fact the State Department has blocked these flights every way it can, denying them permission to land and take off in surrounding countries as well, during the active stage of this, you know, before August 31st, they did that too. So they literally are, I mean, interfering every way possible in getting Americans out. It's almost as if it's on purpose.
Well, this is modus operandi for the Biden administration to take credit for things that they've had nothing to do with or have, actually actively been trying to stop. But then when it happens, they take credit for it. Just like economic recovery, just like a vaccine that was developed at warp speed, as the Trump administration was able to do with COVID-19. They try to take credit for all the things that they think will poll well for them. That's what this is all about. This is about poll numbers and 2022-24 elections. And this is what all they're concerned about.
And then when half of people won't take that vaccine, they actually blame it on the guy who got the vaccine.
Who told everybody that you should take the vaccine.
The vaccine.
Which is,
worst anti-vaxxer ever, Donald Trump. But we're told that everybody's following his lead, and that's why they won't take the vaccine, even though he keeps telling people to take the vaccine and is the guy behind the vaccine.
Right.
But I guess if you just repeat something enough times, it becomes true. By the way, as of this morning, the most vaccinated group in the United States of America, 90%, those over the age of 65.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All those Biden supporters.
The group that voted
overwhelmingly Republican.
In the highest percentages for Trump.
Yeah.
So, you know, once again, so much of what passes as reality in this country is just simply not reality or anything remotely approaching reality.
And the least likely people to be vaccinated are the younger demographics, which vote overwhelmingly Democrat.
Democrat. Shocked in our state, I haven't looked lately, but what was like a month ago? I think you looked it up and it was like something like 50,000
people that's
were vaccinated.
Significantly. Yeah, it has, although I'm not going to make an accusation, but I will make an observation. DHEC has changed the way they're reporting this now. They used to give you a percentage of the population of that demographic that are vaccinated. They've changed it now. They just give you raw numbers. So you really can't follow it as a trend unless you are really good at statistics, which I am not, and can go into it and develop your own graphs and charts there, which, once again, I am not. I was certainly no math major or even very successful at many math courses I ever took. But at any rate, I'm very disappointed that DHEC has changed that so that you could quickly graphically take a look at that and say, oh, wow, this is the least likely and the trend is not looking that good. That's what it was a month or so ago. But once again, DHEC has changed the way that they represent those numbers on their website.
Great. Well, I'd love to see it. We got to pull those numbers. I'd love to see what it is now. I think it was that ended up being like it was some tiny vaccination rate. I think it was like 15%.
Yeah,
it
you
was
did
shockingly.
You actually, you know, went and got the demographic numbers of that demo, the population of that demo, and were able to do the percentages there.
And it was very, very low. So, not what we're being told that Trump's supporters are somehow to blame for this. They were actually early adopters here. So. That's it. Meanwhile, we'll get into this as we roll. This crazy Rolling Stone story went viral over the weekend.
Oh,
I saw a version of this on Twitter. I went, there's no way.
Yeah.
That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it had that stink to it. Like, there's no way. So many people had overdosed in Oklahoma on ivermectin, that gunshot, you know, victims. Right. There was no ambulances to be had. I went, doesn't sound right. I mean, because we would be seeing this everywhere, right? Like, but it's just not. And it turns out the hospital, Rolling Stone broke it. It was as fake as the Duke lacrosse team story, which was a real work of fiction. but they kept the country going on it for months. This was a total work of fiction, too. The hospital had to put out a statement saying, no, we're not overwhelmed with ivermectin overdoses. In fact, we haven't had a single one. And the only doctor that they used as a source on that hadn't even worked here in 2 months, so he wouldn't even know what's going on in our emergency room. So what's amazing about this is when it comes to COVID, you have to be so careful. Because the media, think about this. This is another one of these instances where MSNBC, CNN, ABC News, Newsweek, Business Insider, even The Guardian ran this story, and not one of them called the hospital to go, you know, is this true? This sounds a little it's kind of hard to believe gunshot victims can't get treated. Yeah. And it doesn't even make sense. I mean, if you're sitting there ODing on ivermectin and you just don't feel good, that they're going to put a gunshot victim to the side to help you. That none of that made any sense, and it's because it was fake. So these news outlets will run with any kind of story that proves the liberal narrative on COVID, and they won't make a single phone call to check it. No. And you have to remember that when you're seeing these headlines. That's what this has taught us. By the way, we'll get into this too. Associated Press also had to retract its big story last week. You know, poison centers are overwhelmed with ivermectin calls. Yeah, that one went down in flames, too. That was fake. So let's be careful out there with even what you get from what are supposedly reputable news sources. It's not real reputable anymore.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Are you unvaccinated? New survey shows you're going to stay that way and that you don't care, not at all, about the FDA's approval of the vaccine. Didn't change your mind one iota. The numbers are high here. We've got roughly half the population that hasn't had both doses of the vaccine right now. New survey by ABC News and Washington Post shows that Americans are overwhelmingly unfazed by the FDA's approval of Pfizer's vaccine. Yes, they don't trust the government. Biden administration had hoped this would prompt private businesses to step up vaccine requirements. But people aren't changing their mind. In fact, just 16% of the unvaccinated said the FDA's approval shifts their position, making them more likely to get vaccinated. Well, the vast majority, 82%, say, makes no difference. Not doing it. And a shocking 16% said they would get the shot if it were required by their employer. But according to the survey, many of them say they'd quit altogether. We're seeing this in Seattle right now, by the way. 200 police officers saying, and Seattle, by the way, right now is already, they can't find new hires. So they're police department's just disintegrating before their eyes. And now they're saying, oh, vaccine mandate. 200 police officers are like, nope, not doing it. Sorry, I'm out of here. That's how strongly people feel about this. And so they're looking at not being able to answer 911 calls in a timely fashion if they go through with forcing these officers to do that. The mandate's already in place. So it looks like these people not budging. And you got to wonder, over the week, I wondered this over the weekend. The Pfizer sent its most telegenic board member, Dr. Scott Gottlieb, former head of the FDA, to make one of the most bizarre arguments I've ever heard. Of course, the mainstream media was lapping it up. He literally argued on national television that the shot doesn't work. It's ineffective. Wait, what? A Pfizer board member argued the shot was ineffective? Yes. And explained that that is why you need four doses. Wait, huh? I'm sorry. Come again. Four doses? Well, dang. Before I went on vacation, we're up to three. Yeah, it's four now. Four doses. I was just really curious to my liberal trolls and maybe some of you who are vaccinated. What's your number? What's your number? I mean, the argument is the vaccine is not effective, so you need four doses. How many are you going to take? Because they're saying it's going to have to be every 5 to 6 months now. So, I mean, what's your number? Everybody's got a number. You'll take four? By the way, they're now saying you can get to immune memory if you take four doses. That's the new word. You're going to hear this word a lot this week and in the coming weeks, immune memory. What's ironic about that is that I talk about Dr. Scott Gottlieb a lot. I follow everything he says. So I actually remember 2 months ago when Dr. Scott Gottlieb was saying that no matter how much we vaccinated, COVID would always be with us. But I guess he figures other people don't pay attention or realize that he wrote that in the Wall Street Journal and echoed it in his television appearances. So now he's out there and he's saying four vaccines. It's going to be four. What's your number? I mean, yeah, you're one of my liberal trolls. You going to do four? 2 a year? We stop at six. 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, or 18? Just curious. Or at some point, are you going to go, you know what, this thing isn't effective. The people who make it say it's not effective at stopping the spread. It's effective for keeping you out of the hospital. Or if you end up in the hospital with COVID for you not having as serious of a case. Studies have shown that. So it is personally beneficial to you to take it. But it doesn't make any difference whatsoever in stopping the spread in society. So, I mean, at some point, as we're told, the effectiveness wanes, so you need more and more and more and more. You know, I'd love to hear from you. If you've gotten this, you're like, I'm done. I'm checking out. You know what's interesting? Do you know who checked out last week? Bill Maher did. He has gotten both doses of the vaccine, and he announced on his show he's done. He said he did his part, did his duty for society, and he is finished. He is not going to take boosters. And he's a hardcore leftist who's really pushed the vaccine. So I'm just wondering, what's your number? You going to do this twice a year? No? You going to do it? There's no safety data on the boosters. There won't be for a while. And that'll be the case for every one of them. In fact, by the time you're done for the next one, they'll just be getting safety data out and the numbers you need for the first one. For the one before it. So I'm just curious, where's your Rubicon? We'll have all this on the show. By the way, in Israel, they are also breaking the news to them in Israel that they're going to need the fourth vaccine as well. And unfortunately, here, we can still keep our jobs and shop for the time being if we don't get the fourth booster. But not there. They just made the announcement over the weekend. Your vaccine passport, called the Green Pass, will expire and you will be excluded from society. So no pubs, no work, no school, no shopping, none of it if you don't get the fourth jab. So it's going to be very interesting. Israel's health ministry has announced the vaccine passports will expire 6 months after an individual's third dose. So they are, at least in Israel, conditioning your ability to be a part of society, to work, and in some cases to eat, on keeping up with the boosters. Got to be boosted over and over and over as the shot fails again and again and again in efficacy. So I'd love to hear from you. Text me 71307. What's your number? How many boosters will you take? Because it doesn't work. Not long term. 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Love to get an idea from this audience. Are you done? Are you like Bill Maher? Are you checking out? Sorry, not happening. And will you get them all if you have to work or shop? You can call me too. 800-347-1063 is the Ingalls Markets talk line. Bundle up! Yeah, well, the Democrats trying to battle that global warming. Man, got to spend trillions to do that because... Yeah, I don't know. Well, the cold winter trend is continuing. Cold winter trend. It's because it's getting cooler. It's a sunspot thing. Be prepared for it. Did you notice this weekend? Because I did. How cool it was. Do you feel that? You step outside. Step outside on Friday, where I'm normally blinded by a hot, wet blanket that is this time of the year, right? And so, no humidity. I got to check my calendar. This is the first week of September, so it's normally hot as blazes. No, there was a nice, cool undertone. We went up in the mountains, high of 72. Now, what the heck? And my husband went outside, and I said, notice how cool it is. I can't believe it's the first week of September. This was like Friday. He said the same thing. And then this pops into my inbox. Get ready. Forecast calls for the coldest winter in recent memory. Okay. Here's the thing. I garden. If you garden, you know this. And I keep journals and notes and stuff. It's just my hobby. Starting two years ago, I had to move back my planting date. I've been planting South Carolina and North Carolina for years, so I know when it is. I'm always trying to figure out, like, what's the earliest I can get it in the ground so that I can, you know, have the earliest harvest. You know you do if you're a gardener. And I have never had things killed last week of April, first week of May. I've never seen that before. And I know because I keep notes. And every time I talk about it, other people who garden, like, yeah, oh my gosh, I had a plant twice. I've had a plant twice for 2 years in a row now because I lost the first. That has never happened to me. And I've been saying, and oh, by the way, normally I'm deep into November before it, you know, everything is dead. And that was pretty much a last 2 weeks of October thing last year. Tomatoes gone. It was too cold. And so I'm just looking at this, and here we go. This is a prediction by the Old Farmer's Almanac, which has, it's just amazing. They can do this 80% accuracy rate with weather forecast. They're saying this is going to be an exceptionally cold winter, as in the coldest in recent memory. And I say, I'm a gardener. Nope, this would be year three. And I know others who grow too, because I buy juice to make wine, and everybody's seeing, you know, listen, wow. I mean, the guy I'm talking to here about buying some juice from him, and he's way late on bringing that juice out because the first crop died because of cold. So everything's off. It's out of kilter. As the Democrats plot to spend trillions to stop the warming that apparently just is not coming this year. Old Farmer's Almanac preemptively dubbed the upcoming 2021-22 winter as the season of shivers. Said it could be one of the longest and coldest we've seen in years. According to the forecast, the Great Lakes, Midwest, Ohio Valley will have more than usual cold and snowy weather, but that the cold snap will hit the northern parts of the Deep South and even New Mexico. So be prepared for that as we spend. Maybe we should spend trillions trying to warm the place up. Just me. Texter writes, my uncle has just, this is on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. My uncle has just finished his second shot when he tested positive. He's now in intensive care here in Simpsonville, never smoked and had retired due to disability. So now he's struggling to breathe on a ventilator. Roger, I hope he gets better. That is exactly my dad's story, double vaccinated, sick as a dog, sickest person in our family. Texter writes, hey, Tara, and a question earlier, by the way, was how many boosters is too many? How many are you going to go, I'm done with this thing, it doesn't work? Over the weekend, they had former FDA director and Pfizer board member, Dr. Scott Gottlieb, on to drop the news. Yeah, we're looking at least four shots to get what he calls immune memory. Remember that word. That's a new one. Immune memory. So he literally makes the argument in the first half of the interview that the shot is ineffective and will continue to become more so before telling you you need four of them. At least. Texter writes, oh, folks, did you see what's happening with this, by the way? The outrage that Joe Rogan lived? This is a huge story right now. Joe Rogan got COVID. And he is the famous podcaster and comedian and MMA guy. He treated it at home with monoclonal antibodies, ivermectin, steroids, and he lived. Knocked it out in 36 hours. So they were pretty pissed at him for living. There's a lot of left very angry at him for surviving this. Meanwhile, the left has nothing to say about the fighter Oscar De La Hoya, who had to put off his MMA re-challenge. Because he's in the hospital with COVID, he's double vaxxed. So while everybody was making fun of Joe Rogan for living, nobody's talking about Oscar De La Hoya, double vaxxed, in the hospital. He's gotten great shape. He was actually training for a fight, an MMA fight at the time. So, yeah. Which leads to something interesting. Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, has done an absolutely brave thing. He has opened up monoclonal antibody distribution sites. Why did he do that? Because that treatment, monoclonal antibodies, which is what Joe Rogan took and it worked great, is also, remember, what Trump took. Remember, he was really sick, and then like 2 days later, he was great? Yes, because it works. New study out on that, 70% lower chance of COVID-19 hospitalization and death if you use it pre-hospital. Why is no one using it? Except Ron DeSantis. Why isn't it recommended by the FDA? Because it works. Anthony Fauci was actually forced to admit that last week, that yeah, it works. And the reason he was forced to admit that is because when they treated Trump with it, he said it was a good idea. So he can't go back on that now. Ron DeSantis raging over this weekend, the governor of Florida, saying, listen, 70% reduction in death and hospitalization. This is why he's opening up treatment sites. This is why Joe Rogan is using this. Even Fauci agrees it works. And so he's saying, like, how many people have we killed denying monoclonal antibodies to people? It's a great question. It's today's first epic rant.
But this should have been something that was screamed from the rooftops from HHS and CDC since last December. Can you imagine if 100% of Americans knew that this was something that was available? You know how many people we would have kept out of the hospital? You know how many people that would not have died over the last 9 months? That's just a fact. And we're obviously correcting that in Florida. And we're actually helping other states too, because we put a lot of emphasis on it. You know, I look at that and I wonder, why, if you have an effective treatment? I mean, this treatment was used on an experimental basis to the President of the United States in October, and very effectively. Why would you not be talking about it? And I think one of the reasons that some didn't think that they should talk about it is because they didn't want people to think, okay, maybe you don't need to get vaccinated, maybe you just get the treatment. And they worried that people would take that message. And my view is, you know, we've never said it's either or. We think that they complement each other. But if someone does do that, that's not a reason to not give them the full information. That's not a reason to provide this, you know, for everybody. So.
Well, it looks like this whole murders saga has got the whole country transfixed, well on its way to becoming one of America's most riveting true crime dramas. What makes that so interesting is that our culture of political corruption in this state, where if you're the right people and you have the right connections and people around you die, as in this case, quite a few, at least three bodies racked up where the murders were involved. At least three investigations either trifled with or bizarrely shut down, which is why this has the state so riveted and the country. And now this bizarreness over the weekend, it just gets stranger and stranger. Three people have died around the murders. One of them was a 17-year-old woman, victim, it appears, of a boat DUI. Yet the family legal connections were able to get them out of a full investigation so that the son, who is now dead, who was driving the boat, was not breathalyzed. So it was going to make it really hard. He essentially got away with murder in that one. It was going to make it very hard to get the kind of conviction they wanted. There's a second case they are involved in. A young gay man turned up dead in the middle of the road. Been rumors about that for a long time. Then there's a family friend who died mysteriously as well. And now, over the weekend, this family is strange. Now, over the weekend, and the supposition locally, and this has been going on for years, even before the June murders of the son and the mom, speculation had been high that the family was using their influence to keep out of legal trouble. That's why this is such a big deal. Now, Alex Murda, the father, So his wife and son were the ones killed mysteriously on the hunting property back in June. Now the father, who's a lawyer from the prominent legal family, that's what the big deal is. They're so connected. They get out of stuff. See, this is what grates me about this. We've all seen the videos here in South Carolina of our state legislators, and they get caught drunk driving, and they just make a few threats, and then off they go again. No problem, no harm, no foul. Everybody knows the state works like this, and that's what's driving the coverage of that. Okay, so Alex Murda, the dad, allegedly gets shot at on the side of the road this weekend, then admits he stole money from the law firm where he's a partner, resigns, and checks into rehab. This gets weirder and weirder. You know, it's worth mentioning, okay? It's worth mentioning that the dad is still a person of interest in the ongoing investigation into the deaths of his family members. Doesn't mean anything. It's just the official listing. It's how they're categorized. But still, Alex Murda, the dad, issued a statement Monday saying he regretted decisions he made but didn't give any details just 2 days after reporting someone shot at him after his car had a flat tire along a rural road in Hampton County. The shot grazed his head, he says. Or they say, or the media says, or something. This is so strange. Anyway, whole thing rolls on, and I'm sure the media will continue to lap it up.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.